Now we're holding on Mem Zayin Omud Beis, six lines from the bottom, the two dots. We talked about the case where a person brings his shirt into somebody else's chotzer. You have the distinction whether he had permission to bring it in or not. If he didn't have permission to bring it in, then the Mishnah, and similarly with his peiros and his pots and whatever, then the din is he's chayav for anything that happens, whether his shur goes and gores something in that, goes and gores a shur in that chotzer or causes other damage or whatever, then he's going to be chayav. And if he had rishos, then we said the balabais is chayav. We talked about the machlokas of Rebbe and the chachamim, whether the Bala Bias has to explicitly say, I'm accepting responsibility, or whether we assume by him saying, bring your thing in, that he's accepting responsibility. So now, the Gemara says, so we have a question. When the owner of the chotzer accepted on himself responsibility, so he tells him, so according to Rashi explains, according to the Chachamim, the question would be Bastam. If he says, bring it in, and didn't say, I'm accepting responsibility, whereas we learned yesterday, the Chachamim are saying that he's accepting responsibility by default. According to Rebbe, it would be where he says, bring it in, and I'll watch it. Anyway, so where he did that, Mahu, what kind of din is he, what kind of hezek is he taking responsibility to guard against? Is he only accepting responsibility from Nizokin that are caused by his own things? So for example, the Mishnah had given an example where a shur belonging to the balabas, or a dog belonging to the balabas, had bit him or gored him, then we would say if he brought it in shaloi b'rishos, the owner is potter. And the implication is that if he had rishus, then the owner is chayev. So now, do we mean that the owner of the chotzer is taking responsibility for those kinds of things that are caused by his own mammon in the chotzer? Or maybe he's even accepting responsibility to look out for things that would be caused by other external factors. Now, we did learn at the end yesterday, we had twice where Rava had said the expression that he is accepting on himself other kinds as well. We said the expression as far as the pots, that he's accepting responsibility even if they get damaged by the wind. At the end, we said as far as the, when he brings it in Bereshus, then he's accepting responsibility even if the animal strangles itself. However, Tosfos says that the question may be over here, does Rava really mean that, or was he just coming to say that here we had a question, we were trying to figure out, we were trying to not contradict Rav on the basis of a Mishnah and of a Braisa, on the basis of our Mishnah and on the basis of a Braisa, and so Rava says maybe Rav could answer it that way. Does that mean necessarily that is in fact so, or not? Also, Tosfos says another possibility is, after all, here we're talking about something completely out of left field. We're talking about that somebody else, is he accepting responsibility that, so here you have Reuven, the owner of the chotzer. Shimon, who's being given permission to bring his shur in, is Reuven also accepting responsibility that Levi's shur won't come in and injure it? That's something maybe completely out of left field that he may not expect that Levi's shur may come in, and maybe even without permission yet. So do we say that he's accepting responsibility for that as well? And therefore now if Levi's shur does come in, then Reuven at least has some, has some degree of responsibility for it. So the Gemara says Toshma. Well, let's try to prove from a Braisa, the Tani Rabbi Yehuda Bar Simon, the Nizokin de Beikana. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Simon taught a Braisa from the collection of Nizokin from the yeshiva of Karna. We talked about before, Karna was an Amora in the times of Rav and Shmuel. We find some stories in the Gemara where he interacts with Rav and Shmuel. His expertise, particularly, was in the dinim of Nizokin and dinim Mominus. So he put together a collection of brises on Seder Nizikin, which was called Nizikin de Beit Karna. The same way as we have Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia put together collections of Braises, which became the Tesefta, the same way as the same way as Levi put together a collection of braises, which are mentioned in various places in Shas, different Amoroim from that period, which was actually that period was really the transition between the Tanoim and Amoroim, different Chachamim of that period put together collections of braises. So this was Karna's collection. Anyway, so you sort of, you heard about Simon Torah braise from that collection. Person Gordon is Paris into somebody's chotzer without permission. A shur from elsewhere came and ate the Paris. Potter, then the owner of the chotzer is Potter, because again, the whole thing was Shaloi Berashus. If he had Gordon in the Paris Berashus, then he would be Chayev. Now, again, this seems to be a very similar case to what we're asking about. We have three parties over here: Reuven, the owner of the chotzer; Shimon, the owner of the peiros; and Levi, the owner of the shur that ate the peiros. When we're saying that if Shimon had permission to bring his peiros in, and we're saying chayev man potter or man chayev, when we talk about at first that if it was shaloi bereshus, then he's potter, and if he brought it in bereshus, he's chayev. Who are we talking about, potter and chayev? Pashtus lav potter bala chotzer v'chayev bala chotzer. Don't we mean that it's the owner of the chotzer who's potter and chayev in the two cases respectively? So in that case, that would answer our question that yes, since he brought it in birshus, then therefore that means the owner of the chotzer is taking responsibility to make sure that nothing, including a third party's shur, comes and damages it. So that would answer our question. Now, Tosfos asks, well, why don't you just go to Levi and say, look, your shur came in and ate my peiros, you're the one who should pay. So Tosfos answers, let's say, for example, what if Levi is a cheresh shur to Bekotten? So then you may have no, so then if you want to collect anything, you're going to have to go to Reuven. Or another possibility is, fine, what we mean is that Shimon is going to go and sue Reuven for it, and in turn, Reuven will go to Levi and say, look, you know, you brought your animal in, you weren't supposed to do that because you didn't have reshus. Now, why would you do that roundabout way in the first place? You could have, for example, let's say that Levi, the owner of the shur, is somebody that Shimon is afraid to start up with or something, whatever. You could have scenarios where he finds it more convenient to go and take Reuven to Beis Din rather than Levi. Anyway, on the face of it, though, that's what it means, that Reuven has some responsibility, and therefore that would answer our question. So the Gemara says, Amri, so they answer back, Loi, not necessarily. The potter may be Baal Asher, and the Chayev would be Baal Asher. The potter and the Chayev, respectively, over here, would be the owner of the Shur. So we're saying that if Shimon had brought in his Peiros, Shaloi Bereshus, then the owner of the Shur, Levi, is potter, otherwise he's Chayev. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The Ibala Shur, my Bershus, my Shaloi Bershus. Well, then what's the Bershus or Shaloi Bershus? Then why is it relevant to know whether he brought it in Bershus or not? Either way, it's not Levi's property. I'm kind of an alibi. Either way, it's not Levi's property. So what is what is it? What do we care whether he brought it in with Reuven's Bershus or not? So. What birshus or shaloi birshus is there? Why is it relevant? So the Gemara says, Amri. So they answered, birshus. The difference is like this. If Shimon brings in his animal with birshus of Reuven, havila shein birshus hanizik, then what you have over here is, when Levi's animal goes and eats this fruit, then you have its birshus hanizik. It's in the chotzer, it's in the reshus of the nizik, because now he has permission to bring his peiros in. Therefore, it's considered chatzar nizik, and l'shein birshus hanizik chayavis. And as we've learned before in the Masechta, when the animal eats something in reshus hanizik, that would be when it's chayav. Now, Rashi also says, now we did learn earlier in the Masechta, you had a case of chatzar ha-shutvin, you had a case of a chotzer that belonged to two shutvin, and one of them brought his animal in, and his potter for shein and regel. That's where the one who brought in the shur also has a part ownership of the chotzer, so now it's not exclusively chatzar ha-nizek. Here we're talking about that Levi, a third party, bring it in. So as far as he's, from his point of view, it's as the pasuk says, "Vir v'sdeyacher." He ate in somebody else's field because it's somebody else's chotzer. Levi has no reshus in this chotzer.
He was allowed to bring it in.
Was he allowed to bring it in? Was he allowed to bring it in? Maybe, maybe not. But even if he was, it's still considered. It's still not his chotzer. He has permission to bring his animal in, not necessarily for it to eat somebody else's thing.
Right, so he'd be chayev.
So he'd be chayev then, right? But in any case, the point is, if Shimon had brought in his payrus for the shus, then now it becomes Shimon's chotzer to that extent, and therefore now Levi can be chayev for his animal eating in there. But if Shimon brought in his animal, brought in his payrus without permission, now you have a case of shein b'rishus harabim, not literally b'rishus harabim, but the point is, it's not b'rishus hanizik, b'shein b'rishus harabim b'torah, and in such a case, you're potter, so that actually explains why Levi's chiyuv would depend on whether Shimon has permission to have his payrus in there. Nothing to do, though, no proof from this, necessarily, that we would say that Reuven is the one liable, Adrabah, we could say Reuven is completely out of the picture over here. He's not liable for anything at all. It's strictly Levi that we can talk about whether it is. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara says Toshma. Fine. Let's bring another proof. If a person brought in his shur into somebody else's chotzer without rishus, a shur from someplace else came in and got it. So again, we have the same three people: Reuven, the owner of the chotzer; Shimon, the owner of the shur who brought it in shaloi b'rishus; and Levi, whose shur also came in, but Pashas also shaloi b'rishus, the nagchay and gorim potter. Then he's going to be potter. And again, we have to figure out who's the he. V'im hichnas b'rishus chayev. And if he brought it in b'rishus, then he's chayev. So again, man potter or man chayev. Who are we talking about? Potter and chayev, respectively. Lav. Potter balachotzer v'chayev balachotzer. The pashtus, we're talking about the owner of the chotzer being potter or chayev, as the case may be. He brought it in shaloi b'rishus, so therefore he's saying I have no responsibility for what happens to your shur. Versus he brought it in b'rishus, sounds like we're saying that now he's accepting full responsibility, including that no shur from the outside, that Levi's shur shouldn't walk in and gore. Well, in that case, that would answer our question that yes, he is accepting that degree of responsibility. So the answer is what?
This chotzer is called the door that prevents people from walking
in. For our purpose, it doesn't really matter. Let's say there is the point. Tosfos does make the point earlier that it might be something completely out of left field to expect somebody else's shur to walk in, even if it's not necessarily locked. The shur doesn't often necessarily wander into somebody else's chotzer randomly. Anyway. So then, if it's the Baal Chotzer, Chayev or Potter, then we see that the owner of the Chotzer, if he allows it in, Bereshus, is taking that degree of responsibility. And the answer is, again, Loi, not necessarily Potter, Baal Asher, but Chayev Baal Asher. No, again, we could say that it means the owner of the Shur of Levi is Chayev or is Potter or Chayev, respectively. Again, the question is, well, then why is it relevant whether Shimon brought his animal in with Rishus or without Rishus? And the answer is Ami, because the answer, Homani Rab Tarfin, because the second Braisa that we brought may be according to Rab Tarfin, the Omar, where he says, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta, Mishuna Keren Bahatsara Nizek, unusual Keren, because Keren is unusual by definition, it means something that the animal does unusually, when it's in the Chotzer of the Nizek, Nezek Shalom Mishalim, therefore he's paying Nezek Shalom. We learned earlier in the Masechta that Reb Tarfin learns it from a Kal V'Chomer, and he has a different understanding of the mechanism of how a Kal V'Chomer works than the Chachamim do. So he does it in that way. So when he has a Rishus to bring it in there, B'Rishus Havi L'Keren B'Chatzar Nizek. So what we mean is, when he has a Rishus, then it's considered the Chotzer of the Nizek. V'chayev Ne'um Shalom Nezek Shalom. Therefore, the owner of the Shur, the Levi, is going to be paying Nezek Shalom. Shaloi B'Rishus, Havel Keren, Rishus Rabin. But if he brought it in without Rishus, then it's in effect Keren in Rishus Rabin. Loi Mashalom, Ela Chatzi Nezek. So then he's only paying Chatzi Nezek. So yeah, we don't say, when we're saying Chayev Potter, we don't mean Chayev Potter entirely. We mean Chayev Nezek Sholem versus Potter from Nezek Sholem and Chayev only in Chatzin Nezek. So yes, there would be a difference whether he brings it in Bereshus or not. As far as that, according to Reb Tarfin, yes, you're right. According to the Chachamim, it wouldn't make a difference. Either way, he'd be paying Chatzin Nezek, assuming that he's a Tam, of course. If he's a Mord, then it would be Nezek Sholem anyway.
So now we've just done discussion. Nezek or Potter?
We said, Perin, we said, is Chayev Bereshus Ram. Keren is chayev chatzin nezek b'rishus harabim when it's a tam, according to everybody. Reb Tarfin had held that when it's Reb Tarfon had held that when it's in Rishus HaNizik, then you're paying Nezik Sholem, even though the animal is a town, because we said that we had the whole thing with Kavachomer and Daya and all of that. He had made a Kavachomer first from Keren and then from Regal, and the Chacham shot him down each time and said that's not how Kavachomer works because you have Daya. But Reb Tarfon, we said, doesn't hold that Daya works in quite the same way, because he said where Daya would prevent us from doing the Kavachomer at all, then you don't say Daya, and that's how it would be able to do. Fine. The Gemara tells a case. So the bottom line is when the Bala Chotzer allows him to bring in his Paris or his Shur or whatever it is he taking full responsibility, even to the extent that he's saying that if something may Alma, something from the outside is going to damage it, he's accepting responsibility or not. So the result is, we can say he's only accepting responsibility for things of his own, for his own dog or his own shur or whatever, not injuring it. If it's an alma, then I'm with the chaver l'baraya, and therefore we'd say that he's not going to be able to collect.
So if Levi
brings in his shur, then we can, or for that matter, you know, as Tosfos had said before, I mean, you could go to Levi and say, look, you know, you're responsible, you're shur gored mine or ate my payrus or whatever. We're talking about in terms of what is Reuven chayav for. Say, for example, we said, suppose Levi is a cheder shur to a cotton and we can't collect from him, then we're saying Reuven is accepting responsibility. In the end, we have to say we can be certain he's accepting responsibility for his own things, not necessarily for others. So if Levi's shur comes in, we can hold Levi responsible for what it did. We can't necessarily hold Reuven responsible for what Levi's shur did. Okay. So the Gemara tells a case. It's the Ilul of Meifa Bahu Besa. There was a woman who one time came into a certain house to bake. So the owner of the house had an oven that he would lend out to people to bake. So she came in there to do that. Also, Barcha de Moridesa, a goat belonging to the Balabas came along. The goat ate the dough that she was making. Chovil, the goat then got overheated, umis, and he died. His body got overheated from having, maybe because it ate too much, maybe because that kind of, we learned yesterday, for example, that animals usually don't eat wheat because it's bad for them, the gluten or whatever. So whatever it is, it had some kind of bad effect on the animal, and the result is it died. He of a rova l'shalumid mei barcha, and rova was machai of this woman to pay the value of the goat. So the Gemara asked, "Lema pligad the Rab? Do Amar Rab havi losha l'toichal?" Now we learned yesterday that Rab says that you can't be mechayev a person who brought in peiros for an animal getting injured by eating them, because we said havi losha l'toichal, the animal didn't have to eat them. So we said when the animal, for example, slipped on them and got injured, then yeah, you can be mechayev the owner of the peiros, but not like this. Here it sounds like Rava is disagreeing with Rab on that.
She got permission to bake.
Anyway, so Amri, so the answer, Hochi Hashta, how are you comparing? Possum Shaloi Bereshus, Loi Kabla Leni Tirusa. The difference is, because over there, in Rava's case, he was coming in Shaloi Bereshus. Therefore, the owner of the Chotzer hadn't accepted responsibility. Hocha Bereshus, Kibla Leni Tirusa, he or she had permission to come in over there. On the contrary, where it was Shaloi Bereshus Ba'al Chotzer, then yeah, so he didn't accept any responsibility that the behemoth won't get injured by his payrus. So if the animal get trips on his payrus, then fine. But otherwise, he can say, here, when she came in, Bereshus, then she accepted responsibility that she's gonna make sure that her things don't cause damage to the balabas. In this case, it did, because the animal ate her dough. Now Rashi points out like this. We did say before that actually when we discussed Rava's point, when we discussed before about this matter of Bereshus and Loi Bereshus and who is accepting responsibility, we actually said that when he comes in Bereshus, then he didn't necessarily, it means that the Balabas, the Balachotzer, is accepting responsibility, he's not. So why are we saying over here differently? Because as the Gemara is going to go on to say that this is a special case, you have more reason to think the Balabas is not going to be around. For reasons that the Gemara is going to explain in a second. Tosfos says somewhat similarly. So my shnomei isha shenichnas a litchag chitin eitz a balabayis shalod reshus v'achalatan v'hemtas a balabayis. So why is it any different than the case that we learned yesterday of a woman who went in to grind wheat by a balabos? There it was shaloi b'rashus v'achalatan v'hemtas a balabayis, and he said the owner of the animal belonged to the balabos ate them. Then the balabos is potter. Because he didn't accept, because since it was shaloi b'rashus, he didn't take responsibility to make sure that the wheat doesn't get eaten. V'im huzka chayeves, and we said, on the contrary, if the behema of the balabos gets injured by them, by slipping on them, then she's chayev. Taima shaloi b'rashus, ha b'rashus potter, which then would imply that if she came in b'rashus, then she would be potter from anything that happens through the animal slipping on or whatever the payrus. So why over here? She went in b'rashus. So why is she chayev? Ami, so the answer, the difference is litchen chitim d'loy boyet tzniyus emib. The difference is when it comes to grind wheat, you don't require tzniyus. So therefore, loy boy misaki ma vosed the chotzer nafshayu. The owner of the chotzer does not have to remove himself from the premises when she's grinding. So therefore, we can assume, in other words, both of them are going to be present. She's going to be grinding her wheat. The bala chotzer is still going to be there. Now, there the case was that she came in shaloi b'rashus. But if she had come in b'rashus, there would be no reason for the bala chotzer to not be present. Therefore, he can be present and watch his animal and make sure that it doesn't eat or slip or whatever. And therefore, we can say she's potter if it slipped on it. And there's the whole hoyal shaloi teichel thing if the animal overeats and then gets injured by that.
The presence of the balabais implies reshus. How can you say there's no reshus, and if he's present, he doesn't say anything?
No, because you could have, for example, no, because reshus means that he actually says, come on in. For example, he might have.
Not necessarily.
Well, that's at the beginning of the sugya, actually, that is when we start talking about reshus and shaloi reshus, that is actually, So here at the beginning of the sugya, actually, Rabbeinu Hanano, Shitamu Kubetz quotes Rabbeinu Hanano that says that he says that no, shaloi b'rashus would mean he told him don't bring him in. So fine, shaloi b'rashus would mean that he says I don't want you to bring your wheat in right now, but she brings him anyway. And before he has a chance to throw her out, then the animal slips on them or eats them or whatever. So then b'rashus would mean he told her fine, bring it in. Or maybe even, like you said, he's standing there and didn't say anything. Maybe that would be tantamount to b'rashus as well, and whatever the animal later on slips on them or eats them or whatever. But the difference is...
Well, that's obvious, but if he tells her not to be there, his presence doesn't mean that he accepts her. That we're not talking about a case like that. We're talking about a case where he is there and he does not give... authority
right,
for her to be
saying,
to say
and that's
that.
Why we're saying she's chayev for anything that happens. That's why we're saying the owner of the chotzer is potter. What we're saying is we're in.
That's not a reason, because the fact that he's there and doesn't protest means that he's accepting it.
No, because we're talking about that he may be trying to get her out of there as soon as possible. But
Different. We didn't mention that.
We're not
that's
mentioning
different.
That because we understand that shaloi b'rashus means just that. But the point is focus over here like this. What we're saying is the inference we're making, we're not talking about the actual case itself where she brought it in shaloi b'rashus and therefore she's chayev. We're inferring from that if it was shaloi b'rashus, then she would be potter and the owner of the chotzer would be chayev. Now that would be because we assume the owner of the chotzer is present and he's able to watch his animal and make sure that it doesn't slip or eat or whatever. As opposed to, in our case over here, we have a special reason to assume that the owner of the chotzer is not even present, and therefore that if she comes in b'rashus, that she's taking full responsibility. So that's the Gemara continues. So one second. So in the usual case, where she's coming in to grind or to do something else, then fine. Loid boy misalki ma'vosa de chotzer nafshayu. The owner of the chotzer is not required to remove himself from the premises. Va'aledi de ramina terusa. Therefore we can say, that the watching of the animal is incumbent on him. He said, I allow you to come in to grind your wheat. Therefore, that amounts to saying, I will make sure that you don't come to any hazard by that. And therefore, if my animal...
That's a very big stretch.
One second. Let's finish. Let's finish the sentence. Avil, Aval Lamefa. But when it comes in, when she comes in to bake, that's different. She's going to be kneading the dough and baking. Kim and Deboya heats Sneosa. She requires an extra degree of Sneosa over there because she's going to roll up her sleeves in order to knead the dough, in order to knead the dough and bake. Therefore, Marvosa de Chotzer, Masalki Nafshayu, in that case, then, the owner of the Chotzer is going to remove himself from the premises. Hilkach Allah Dide, Adido, Ramyan Tirusa. Therefore, the exclusive responsibility for watching and making sure nothing goes wrong is going to be exclusively on her. So, in other words, so the difference is, in other words, so Rashi says.
So that's the Gemara tends to support what I'm saying. The fact that she becomes responsible when he leaves because of tznius means
right.
that she's chayav.
Right, that's the point.
So his presence there means it's an acceptance.
Well, no. We're not saying that his presence there means an acceptance. If he, as far as Shaloi Bereshus, if he told her don't bring it in and she brings it in, then we don't say he's accepting any degree of responsibility. Just because he's there, fine. He may not want to make a scene. He may whatever, but it doesn't mean that he accepted. The whole point is we established before. First of all, according to Rebbe, definitely not. Because according to Rebbe, we said no question. He's not accepting responsibility unless he actually says so in so many words. But even according to the Chachamim, it has to be that he gave reshus in order for her to come in. If he's standing there and she came in and he told her don't bring this in and she does anyway, fine. The fact that he's not. The fact that he's not throwing her out doesn't necessarily mean that he gave her a shus. It may mean he doesn't want to cause a scene. It may mean he's weighing his options. It may mean whatever. The point is we're not really addressing that right now. Right now we're focusing on where it was Bereshus, and where it was Bereshus, we can draw a distinction between whether he's present, in which case he's accepting at least a certain amount of responsibility in terms of, and therefore, if his animal slips on them, then she's potter because she can tell him, look, I had permission to be here. You should have watched right. your animal that it doesn't get too close. And if it eats them, then all the more so, here, where the balabas is not even able to be present because of reasons of tznius, then therefore he has a valid claim against her. Look, I gave you permission to come in here. So therefore, and I have to leave because of that, because you're going to be here. Therefore, you're going to have to make sure that my goat doesn't get too close and suffer any kind of hezek. And if it does, then you're responsible.
Why would this case of responsibility would be different than, for instance, the case of a mecha for a chazaka on a field? If there's no mecha, it's considered an acceptance within a period of time.
So if she's there for three hours grinding her wheat and hasn't said anything during all that time, maybe you could say. I mean, there's also, again, the distinction, you know, we're talking about, again, to begin with, as Rabbi Hanan is saying, he told her to begin with, don't come in. She didn't listen. At that point, we're going to learn at the bottom of the Amud, he certainly does have the right to throw her out. He may choose, for whatever reason, I'm not going to go make a stink about it right now. It doesn't mean that he's accepting. And in any case, remember, it's not just accepting that she should be there. It's accepting that I'm going to take responsibility for Nizukin. He's certainly not necessarily doing that. Just because he doesn't want to make a scene doesn't mean that he's accepting responsibility for Nizukin. That's the point. Well, yes, it implies it.
That's the point.
Okay, you know what?
Until there's a proof to the contrary, it does imply it. But move on.
Yeah, let's move on. Anyway, but in this case over here, where he's not present, then certainly we're saying that that he can't be accepting responsibility because he can't even be there. Next, the Gemara says, So that's that then. So normally we would say if you come in Bereshus, the Balabas is accepting responsibility for Netirusa, for watching that there shouldn't be hezek from his things, whether from other external factors, we said we can't really be sure. And if he can't be there, then yes, she has to accept full responsibility for anything that happens. Okay. Now, we said in the Mishnah, And we said in the Mishnah, Hichnas Shur Lachatzar Balabayas. We said you have a case where a person brings his Shur into somebody else's Chotzer, and a Shur belonging to the Balachotzer gored him. So we said if he brought it in without permission, then the owner of the Chotzer is Potter. And if, in that case where it was also Shaloi Bereshus, if his Shur were to gore a Shur belonging to the Balabas, then he would be Chayav. So let's talk about that. Omar Rava, so let's talk, so Rava is going to talk about a related case. Not where the, not where he gores, but rather where the animal, having come in, Shaloi Bereshus, causes other kinds of damage. Omar Rava, Hichnis Shur Lachatzar Balabayis Shaloi Bereshus, if a person brought in his Shur to somebody else's Chotzer without Bereshus, the Chof of a Boris Shichin Omaris, and while the Shur was there, it started digging pits in the ground with its hooves. Now Tosfos discusses earlier that actually if he had brought it in Bereshus, then he would be Potter. Because again, if he brought and according to Rebbe, it wouldn't really matter whether Bereshus or Shaloi Bereshus, a mustang, because we said he has to accept Shmira Befeirush. So now the animal was digging Boris Shifinim Artis. It dug various kinds of water holes in the Chotzer. We're going to learn in a couple of days, that's the Shem. When we start talking about the Dinim of Bor in detail, we'll learn what exactly the difference is between Boris Shiachanim Artis. Anyway, Baal Asher Chayev Benizke Chotzer. So the owner of the Shur is Chayev to pay for the damage to the Chotzer. Baal Chotzer Chayev Benizke Abur, in turn, if the owner of the chotzer does not go and fill in these holes, then and he went and was mafkir that area, then he's going to be chayev in anything that happens and any damage that happens because of that bur. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, now you have the pasuk that says, the Gemara is going to say, afagav de omamar yichre ish bur v'lo shur bur, even though we have the pasuk that says if a person digs a bur, and we can infer from that it means that if a shur digs a bur, then you potter. So we had cases like that earlier. We had at the beginning of the second parak. We had a case, for example, Rashi mentions where you had a chicken running around, and then a dlil, some kind of little thing got stuck to its leg, and then that ended up tripping over somebody. So then we say the owner of the chicken is potter because his chicken created this burr in effect. But that kind of thing, it doesn't belong to him. It's not his responsibility to remove it from the chicken's leg. But hocha over here, given to Isle laha'ech l'maluye, since the owner of the chotzer should have been filling it in, below kamalye, and he didn't fill it in, command to carry a dummy, then we treat it as though he himself dug it. So in other words, like this, what Rashi is saying, the case is that he was mafkir that reshus. Now that the shur went and dug holes in the ground, he decides, you know what, it's too much of a bother to fill it in, I'll just be mafkir it, and from now on, B'nai Reshus Arabim can use this area as well. Well, before doing that, he should have filled in, but instead of doing that, he should have filled in the burr. Now, therefore, we can be mechayev of him for having a burr on his property and not filling it in. Now Tosfos points out that why aren't we saying the owner of the shur is liable? So he says, because if we're going to douse an ish bur or a shur bur, really we would say both of them should be potter. We were saying both of them should be potter. But we're saying that, look, since we say that ultimately, yes, the owner of the shur, of course, is chayav to pay. But then once that happens, then the owner of the chotzer is responsible to fill in the holes. For that matter, Tosfos says, even if a person had dug those holes in his chotzer, also, he would be, if he goes and is afterwards mafkir that area, then he would be chayav for it. Because again, you would say, same idea, the person who dug them would be chayav to pay for the damage to the chotzer, but then the owner of the chotzer is responsible to fill it in. So in fact, Rishonim talk about this, that once the owner of the shur pays him for pays him the an amount of money necessary to get workers to fill it in. So now the Baal Asher has, and now he has no more chiyuv for anything that happens to this burr. Now the owner of the chotzer is chayiv. The Ravid learns it somewhat differently. He says once he paid the owner of the chotzer for the damage, it's considered as though he filled in those holes himself. And now, therefore, that's why he's potter. Now the owner of the chotzer didn't do his part, so therefore it's as if the owner of the chotzer himself dug it, and that's why he's chayim. So since he could have filled it in, then it's considered as though he himself dug it. So therefore, the owner of the chotzer would be chay again. The Omar Rava says here's another thing. Hich is sher l'chatzah balabayis shaloi b'rushus, the hizik as balabayis oy balabayis uzak boy. If the person brings in his shur into the chotzer without permission, and that shur injured the owner of the chotzer, or the owner of the chotzer was injured by it, for example, he tripped over it, So chayiv, then the owner of the shur is chayiv to pay because he brought in his animal without permission. Robat's potter. But if robat, then he's potter. Now, robat usually means lying down. So what does that mean? Does it mean the animal lay down over there in the chotzer and caused the hezek that way? For example, by lying down on top of Kalim. So, umashum the robat's potter. What's the logic? Because he lay down, therefore he should be potter. Why is that any different? The fact is he's there shaloi b'rashus. So Amar Papa, my robot shehirbitz glolim. The word robot doesn't mean the animal itself laid down. It means that it laid down glolim waste over there. So in other words, it defecated over there, and now you have glolim on the ground over there. But he tanful Caleb Shabbal Abayas, and later on after they landed on the ground, then Caleb or clothes or whatever of the Balabayas became dirtied by them. So why is that? To have your glolim burr? Because in effect, once this waste has been laid down, then it becomes a burr. V'loy matzino burr shechiyah bayis hakelim. We never find that a burr yechayah for kelim, as we're going to discuss in more detail later on in this parak. So if it had happened while the animal was defecating, that it dirtied the kelim, then it would be considered part of the animal itself. Therefore, you'd be chayah. But here, where it happened afterwards, then it's a burr, so therefore he's potter for anything that happens to Caitlin. Now, Rashi says that if the owner himself were to be nizik by that, for example, by slipping on it, then the owner of the shur would be chayev, because when do we say, now we do say that, we did just say that if a shur makes a burr, then you're potter, but here we're talking about it belonged to him when it was falling. The Gemara is going to say soon that he's mocked through it, but at the time it belonged to him. So when you have the same way, for example, Rashi says we learned back in the third parak, let's say that if a person's camel falls down in the Shosar Abim and he doesn't move the animal out of the way, he's going to be chayiv because of burr. It's a burr that was created by an animal, but no, because it belongs to him at the time, so therefore it's his responsibility to remove. So the same way would be over here. And also, Rashi says the difference is again that when the shur dug a burr, which we just said that we just said he'd be potter for the chiyuv of a burr, he's chayiv to pay for the damages to the chotzer. But let's say the shur had done this in Rosh Hashanah Abim, where there's nobody to pay, then he'd be potter. Again, the difference is that there the digging is not his. Here the glolim belong to him until he's mocked with him. Anyway, that's according to Rashi. Tosfos discusses and says not necessarily. When Rashi is saying that he'd be potter, that he'd be chayiv if the owner himself slipped on these glolim or otherwise got injured by his glolim. Tosfos says maybe not necessarily, actually. The fact is, what are we saying? The Gemara is going to say over here that he's machter the glolim, and therefore that makes a difference in terms of his chiyuv. But uh, but uh, so uh, So therefore, this is called, this is an example of, we learned back in the third Perek, at the beginning of the third Perek, Machna Zokav La'achan Filas Oynas, where the falling itself was an oynas. We had a case, for example, over there where a person dropped a jug in Rosh Hashanah or whatever, where he tripped over somebody, for example, and dropped his jug where it was an oynas, and then he was mafkiret. We said under those circumstances he might be potter because he has a right to be mafkiret after the filas oynas. And the same way over here, you could talk about that it is the filas oynas because he doesn't control when the animal goes to the bathroom.
It was expected that whenever you walk through the bathroom.
Well, there is that, but still, it's still the Baal Bas's chotzer, and he didn't give permission for it to come in. Anyway, so therefore, so now, but
can't
now,
you say,
yeah, what?
Can't you say that although he doesn't control when the animal is going to have its needs, but it's a recurrence that happens every day, and he should have expected it.
Maybe, but Tosfos says the fact is he's not pushing. So therefore, if he wasn't mafkir, he would have a responsibility to remove it. But now that he was mafkir, then maybe he doesn't even have a responsibility to remove it. Although Tosfos says they do prefer Rashi's explanation. Anyway, but in any case, if Kalim got dirtied by those Gaulim that are lying on the floor, then he'd be potter because a bur, you're not chayav for Kalim. Well, the Gemara asks, "Hanicha l'Shmuel, d'ama kol takola baruhu." Well, that works out according to Shmuel. Back there at the beginning of the third parak on Daf Chavches, we talked about that according to Shmuel, it doesn't matter whether you are mafkir the nezek or not. Either way, you chayev on the grounds of baruhu, whether you actually own it at the time or not. We had, for example, the case over there where there were shards of earthenware from your broken jug on the floor. It doesn't matter. You're chayev either way. But Rav who said that as long as you have ownership of it, then it's not considered a burr. Only when you master it does it become a burr. Well, then Ma'i Kalamema, then what are you going to say over here? The Glolim belong to him? And the answer is no. As Amri said, the answer, Stam Glolim, Akkuri Maskulahu, usually a person is going to be master his Glolim very soon after they fall, and therefore he is master them, and therefore even according to Rab, there'd be reason to consider it a burr, because Rab considers it a burr only after he's master it, and therefore, so we have the usual rules of burr, which include that you're potter for Caleb. So again, then you have that whole discussion of Tosfos. Now that we're saying that he was Machter then, so now again, as Tosfos says, it's La'ach under Filas Oynas, so maybe in fact he should be Potter on the grounds of Burr. He would only be Chayev if the Baal HaChotzer himself slips on it. Fine. Continues the Gemara. V'omar Rava nichnas lachitzah balabayis shaloi b'rashus v'hizikas balabayis a balabayis uzak boy. So now we said that if he brings in his shur without rashus and that shur injures the balabayis or the balabayis gets injured by it, for example, by tripping on it, chayev. So then we just said before he's chayev. On the other hand, he's zikoy balabayis potter. But if the balabayis were to injure it directly, to actually be mazik that shur, to actually go and hit it or something and cause damage to it, then potter, then the balabais is potter because he's ziko doesn't necessarily mean that he actually goes and hits it. It means, in other words, that he, for example, he trips over it and the result is that the animal gets injured. So then the balabais would be potter. Amar papa layamurn eldolay have a yonibe. So the papa says that would only be if the balabais didn't know that the shur is in there, and therefore he crashed into it and caused injury to the shur without realizing that it was there. That's what we're saying. Shalom. One second. Aval have a yodabay, but if he knew that it came into the chotzer, even though it's shalom b'rashus, he's zikah balabais chayev. If the balabais injured it, the balabais would be chayev. My time, Hashem the omalei, because the one who brought in his shur can say nihi de isloch rashus la'apuki. Sure, you have rashus.
To throw us out.
And even for example, the Mephoshim add that it means he'd even say you have a right to hit us to force us out. La azuki, less loch rishusa, but you don't have rishus to actually cause injury. So if he actually via dying caused injury to the animal, then he'd actually be chayav, right?
So he was by chasing it away.
Right. So there's
so you need to get it out.
Right. So there's a couple of ways of understanding the distinction over here. Doesn't mean so Rashi learns that he's zika. It means he's zika via dying. So Rashi says that hizik means whether he was miskaven or ain't miskaven, but it was via dying. So he actually used his hands on it, whether he meant to injure it or not. There are mafoshim who learn that if he knew, so according to Rashi, then if he knew it came into the chotzer, then maybe even if he was careless and then caused hezek, he would be chayev. And then on the other hand, then he's saying that no, only if he was, although if he had kavona, so he had kavona to be mazik, which would mean then, in other words, the distinction is whether the hezek itself was kavona or shaloi b'kavona. Did he mean to injure the animal or did he not? So that would, according to the Rambam, that would be the distinction. Okay. According to Rashi, the distinction is more whether he knew the animal was there or not.
He'd be chasing him out.
Yeah.
While he's chasing him out, he heard him.
And the Gemara says, "But also a time mile, Rava and Rapapa are going according to their respective opinions that we find elsewhere." The Shulchan Aruch Kabbalah points out that really this is not the language here is not exact. We're saying over here that we're because the Gemara is going to go on to say now that Rava or Rapapa said such a thing. Here we're saying Rava said one thing, Rapapa said another. Now we're going to bring a din which we're saying Rava or some say Rapapa said. So it's not really also a time mile per se. But anyway. If you have two people walking, for example, on a Shus Rabim or a Chotzer belonging to Shutfin, or we gave them permission to enter or whatever, so they're both there Bereshus. Or, for example, both of them are there, Shaloi Bereshus. For example, Rashi says both of them were running in Rosh Hashanah, and we've learned earlier on Daf Lamed Beis that you have no business running in Rosh Hashanah, except we said Erev Shabbos, shortly before Shabbos. Now, if they cause injury one to another, they're going to be chayev because even if it was shalei b'kavana or the mord loyalam. Whether it's b'rashus or shalei b'rashus, because they have to take into consideration that Rashi explains. Now we did learn before there on Daf Lamed Beis, we have the case where two people are running and are walking in Rosh Hashanah. The zik uzes zeh potter. We said they're both potter because both of them have a right to be in Rosh Hashanah. Rashi says he ziku doesn't really mean they actually injured each other. Be a dayim means huzku. They were injured by one another. For example, one tripped over another or banged into the other without noticing. But if he had done it with kavana, then in fact they would be chai. And the point is that whether it's Bereshus or Shaloi Bereshus, they have to take into consideration there may be other people there as well. That's Tosfos says, where it's Bereshus, he has to consider the same way as he gave me permission to come in, he may have given somebody else to come in permission as well. And if it's Shaloi Bereshus, the same way as I came in Shaloi Bereshus, the same way somebody else maybe came in Shaloi Bereshus. That would be why they're both high. So what are we saying? Only because both of them are birshus, or both of them are shaloi birshus. But if one of them has birshus and the other one does not, the birshus potter. The one who's there birshus is potter. If he didn't do it with kavana. So we have the example again where one person was walking in Rishus Rabin and the other one was running. Where then the one who's walking is birshus. He's allowed to walk. And Rosh Hashanah Abim, and therefore he's Potter. So we're saying both. It can be in somebody's Rishus, or it can be in Rosh Hashanah Abim. The Rishus would mean in somebody else's Rishus, and Rishus Shaloi Rishus would mean that. It can also mean in Rosh Hashanah Abim, when a person has Rishus to act a certain way, or not to act a certain way. A person does not have the Rishus to run in Rosh Hashanah Abim, unless it's Erev Shabbos, yeah. So the Rishus Potter, Shaloi Rishus Chayev, then the one who's acting, Rishus is Potter, and the one who's acting shaloi b'rashus is chayev. So we see, in other words, this is similar to what Rav Rava and Rav Papa are saying, where if the balabas is injured by them, then the owner of the shor is chayev because he brought it in shaloi b'rashus. But we said if the owner injures them, he's chayev. because he has no right to injure them. He has a right to throw them out, but not to injure them. So Rashi points out there's no difference when it comes to miskaven or ain't a miskaven when it comes to nizakin, because other more loyal. When you have, we had the case, two people walking in, Rosh Hashanah was talking about whose school where they ended up damaging one another, but not the kavana, and where both of them are virtuous. Now Tosfos points out in that case, if we're only recapitulating the same state, the same din that we have on Daf Lamed Beis, there's no reason for Rava or a Papa to say it again over here. So Tosfos says we're not talking necessarily in Rosh Hashanah. We are talking about in a chotzer, Birshus or Shaloi Birshus, as the case may be. Again, the point is you should take into consideration somebody else may be here. Just be, I came in Birshus, there may be somebody else here Birshus. I came in Shaloi Birshus, there may be somebody else here Shaloi Birshus. So even if it was Shaloi Midas, even if they didn't realize somebody else is there, they should have realized the possibility that somebody else is there. And therefore, they're chayiv hiziku zesya. But if one of them is berushus and the other shaloi berushus, the one who's there berushus does not have to take into consideration that somebody else may have come in shaloi berushus. So therefore, if he ends up injuring him, then he'd be potter because we don't expect him to realize that somebody else is there. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, nafal abor behivish meim of chayim. We had a case where the animal went into somebody else's resource without permission, and it fell into a bur that the guy had on his property, and it dirtied the water. So we said the owner of the shur is chayev for the damage to the water. So Amar Rava, loy shanu ela shehivish b'shas nefila. This would only apply if it stank up the water, if it dirtied the water when it was falling. So the animal, for example, was covered with dirt, and now it fell into the water, and now the water is all dirty. So the Rashba says you have two possibilities. You could have that. You could also have, let's say, for example, that the animal, as it was falling in, kicked up dirt and whatever that went into the water. So that's when the owner of the shur would be chayav, because now you have a hezek that was done via dayim with the shur's actual goof. But if it only stank up the water afterwards because the animal wasn't pulled out right away, potter, then he would be potter, says Rava. My timer, have a shur boru mayim kalim, because now, in effect, what you have is the shur itself becomes a bur. Because the shur didn't cause the damage to the water right away. It was only afterwards, so it's similar to a bur lying on the ground. The water itself is considered like kalim. Earlier in the Masechta, Tosfos had pointed out that kalim doesn't just include kalim as in clothes and utensils and things like that. It can also include food. So in this case, the water would count as kalim. And again, well, a bur, you're never chayev for kalim, so therefore you can't be chayev him for the damage to the water that came about afterwards. So Gemara says, again, on Michal Shmuel, that works out well according to Shmuel. Dama kol takola burhu. He says whether you're mafkir, you're takola or not, it's still considered a bur. So the same way over here, we would say he's high only on the grounds of bur, and a bur was saying kalim a potter. But according to Rab, it only becomes ad demachule. Rab says it becomes a burr only if he's machkuret. And if he's not machkuret, then it's still considered mamonai, and then he's chayev on other grounds, for example, on the grounds of shur.
He came into
property without permission. Now his shur fell into a burr, but still, he owns the shur. He wasn't machkuret. According to Rab, until he's machkuret, it doesn't count as a burr. So that's the same point we made on Amud Aleph as far as the case where the animal dropped waste in the chotzer over there. According to Rab, why were we saying that he's potter if kalim got dirty in it, because a bur you potter for kalim? According to Rab, until you're masquerade, it's not considered a bur. Until then, it's considered some other of nizikin, and you'd be chayev for kalim. And the answer was, you masquerade it right away. You masquerade the glolim as soon as the animal drops him. Here, you don't have that. You're not mafkir the shur the moment it lands in the bur. So therefore, the shur itself is not considered a bur according to Rab until you mafkir it. So why should he be potter for the kalim? We're saying you're counting the water as kalim, but why are you saying he's potter for kalim according to Rab? It's not yet a bur until he's mafkir it. So now, in this and in the previous one, the fact is the halacha is like Shmuel, but still the Gemara wants to make what Rav is saying work, even according to Rav, even though the halacha is not like him. Halacha is like Shmuel, that you chayev on the grounds of bur either way, whether you mach bur or not.
Best came
without permission. Right. Well, right. Anyway, so the Gemara answer is no. You're right. Ella I itmar hochi itmar. Rather, if it was said, this is how it's said. You're right. We can't say that what Rava said is what we just quoted. We have to say that what Rava said was something a little bit different. Omar Rava, lo shonu ella shehivish mi gufay. When do we say that he's chayev for the damage to the water is where he made the water dirty with his own goof. Because again, he was covered with dirt, or he kicked up dirt as he was falling in or whatever. Abel meirechai, but if the water only sank later on because of his smell, meaning in other words, the shur died there in the burr, and now the carcass is starting to rot, and that caused the water to become unusable, potter, then the owner of the shur would be potter. My time, groma ba'almahu, because at that point, it's only a groma. The stink comes on its own later on as a result of the animal being over there. Or grum of amal, you're not chayev for a case of grum. So therefore, so it's not a matter of bur of being chayev for bur or not bur, because according to Rav, that distinction wouldn't be valid. You wouldn't say that you potter him on grounds of bur unless he's machter it. But rather, what we're saying is, and the difference is whether it was a direct hezek or whether it was an indirect hezek, and therefore he'd be chayiv or potter as the case may be. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Hoya Ovivod Bnei L'Soichai, we said the last thing we said in the Mishnah is if when the shur fell into the burr, the owner of the chotzer, his father or his son, was inside the burr, and the animal landed on him and killed him, then we said that the owner of the shur has to pay koifer. As when an animal kills. The question is, what do you mean? Ramai, the hotamu. Isn't the animal a tam? The pashas, we don't assume that now Rashi explains like this.
Is it
not a matter of Rashus or not. Well, we said he brought in his shur without Rashus, but we said the Mishnah talked about we brought it in without Rashus. But whatever, the point is like this. Earlier we talked about in Nandachman Aleph, we talked about how is it possible for a shur to ever become moored to kill people if the first time it kills you already have to give it nisa. So we talked about a number of possible scenarios. There were Egypt Zomin and Zomizomin involved, or the animal ran away, or they didn't recognize the animal, etc. In this case, when the shur fell into the burr, if it's been doing this over and over again, then the first time it did that, then if it deliberately like jumped into the burr and killed somebody, it's stuck there in the burr. So there's no possibility of not recognizing it. There's no possibility of Edom Zomin. There's no possibility of it running away. So automatically we should have given it to Skila. So if we're saying that we're talking about over here that we're Chayev Koifer, the implication is this must be the first time this ever happened. But by a time you don't pay Koifer. You only pay Koifer when it comes to a Mord, as we learned earlier. Yeah, because we said that you said, well, we're going to say soon, according to Rabbi Yisrael, really, you pay Hatsi Kofer the first few times. That's going to be one of the Gemara's answers. But according to everybody else, you only pay Kofer only when the animal becomes a Mord. So then in that case, what Kofer are we talking about over here when the animal's not yet a Mord? The answer is, Amarab, the Mord, Lipo, Albanay, Adam, and Boris, Askinen. Yeah, we're talking about where the animal is Mord to fall on people in wells. Well, the question is, Yehochi Baktolahu. Well, and that's exactly that then. Well, then the animal should certainly have been Chayev Skila long ago. Because again, there's no way it could have accomplished this three times without having been caught already. So, Rabbi Yosef, the Chazi Yeruka Benochal. So Rabbi Yosef answers, you're talking about over here where the animal saw grass by the edge of the pit, and then it went to eat the grass, and then it fell in. So it didn't mean to fall in. So koifer, it doesn't matter. You have a koifer. So Rashi points out when you have an animal that meant to gore, and then you have, so let's say for example, so it gored three times. Each time it ran or killed a person three times. Each time it ran away, so therefore we weren't able to give it skila. Now a fourth time it went and then killed shaloi b'kavana. So then we would say that you're not paying kofer. We had earlier the rule that when the shur doesn't get skila, then you don't pay kofer. And since the animal killed shaloi b'kavana, then therefore there's no kofer. But over here, There was never a chiyuv skila in the first place. So therefore, Rashi explains over here, and this is relevant. We learned this. We learned this Rashi actually a couple of weeks back in connection with that whole Gemara about Tam versus Muad and what exactly its intention is in any given time. So here, what we have is. What are we talking about here? We're dealing with shame regel, basically. The same way as you could have regel, the animal steps on a baby and kills it. And we're saying there is kofer, even though it was shaloi b'kavana. The same way over here, the animal saw grass over there. It's a tolda of shame because it means to have hana. It wants to eat the grass. So now we can talk about kofer, even though we're not talking about skila. Because in other words, we're not talking about Karen anymore. We need three times. We're talking about shame, where the first time already it's Muad, and therefore that would be, so there's a skila it's not getting because it didn't intend to kill, but Koifer, you still need to pay. Rashi also says that, on the face of it, isn't this something Mishuna? But the answer is that yes, since we're saying it is Muad Lipul of Bnei Adam Aboros, it has happened multiple times. Each time it was Shalei B'Kavana, but once it already has a habit of going and trying to do this, eating the grass and falling into the burr, we're going to be Machayev him in Kofer. But again, we can't give it Skila unless there's Kavana, and therefore, yeah. Rashi also points out, by the same token we talked about before, we had some time back, we had a case where an animal scratches itself against a wall and knocks it down on a person, and we said over there that he'd be potter as well, because they were talking about that he was mischakel fahana also, he was itchy and he scratched himself, he didn't intend to knock down the wall. Tosfos points out then, so Rashi learns that the first few times then necessarily it didn't necessarily kill a person, and the last time it did. Tosfos doesn't really like that explanation of Rashi. How is it because the first ones were kavana and the last one was shaloi kavana, and you're going to call it muad because of that? So it would come out over here. In any case, Tosfos says, following Rashi, it would come out that when we say over here muad lipul al bnei adam aboros, really what it means is only the last time they kill a person. Previous times it fell into the burr, there was no person over there. Now this last time. Then it fell into the burr when there was a person there, but it's already moored to go and try to grab the grass that's by the edge of the burr and therefore to fall in. So now that it killed a person, then we can talk about Koiker. Shmuel gives a different answer. Hamani Rabbi Yossi Aguili. Our Mishnah could be like Rabbi Yossi Aguili, Drama Tam Mishalom Chatzi Koiker. Whereas we've learned before, Rabbi Yossi Aguili says that even with a tam, you do pay kofer, you just pay only half. So when our Mishnah says kofer, it means chatzi kofer. Doesn't mean that this could be the very first time this kind of thing happened. So it's a tam, but it's still paying chatzi kofer. Ula Omer, Rabbi Yosef Aglidihi. Ula says, sure, it is like Rabbi Yosef Aglidi, but for a different reason. Do Omer Kerem Tarifin. We can say Rabbi Yosef Aglidi agrees with Rabbi Tarifin. Do Omer Kerem, Bechatzai Nizek, Nezek Shalom Meshalem. Whereas we've learned many times, including on Omer Aleph, Rabbi Tarifin holds that when you have Kerem, Bechatzai Nizek, you're always paying Nezek Shalom. Well, you're paying Nezek Shalom. Havahachanami Kofa Shalom Meshalem. Well, the same way over here, Rabbi Yosef Aglidi will say, in that case, not only are you paying Nezek Shalom, you're also paying Kofa Shalom. So we don't even have to say that kofer means chatzi kofer. It can mean the entire kofer. Even though the animal was a tam because it was birshus anis. Well, the Gemara says, b'shleim ala ula. According to ula, it's easy enough to understand how you're over with b'nei l'soichah. The Mishnah is saying that if his father or his son was inside the pit, now they have permission to be there in the chatzah, so therefore it's chatzar anis. According to Shmuel, we're just saying that Rabbi Yosef really is saying you always pay chatzi kofer when it's a tam without the distinction between chatzar and nizik and not. So according to Shmuel, why bother mentioning that it was his father or his son in the pit? The same thing would be if anybody was in the pit. But it doesn't matter. We don't need chatzar and nizik according to Rabbi Yosef really for him to be chayev chatzi kofer. And then Gemara says, you're right, but Ucha de Milsa Katani, you're right, but the Mishnah is just mentioning a typical example. Typically, who's going to be in a burr that the shur is going to fall into is going to be a father or a son of the owner of the chotzer. But you're right, according to Shmuel, it wouldn't really matter who it is, really, yeah. Next, we said, so we finished off and we said that if he brought in his animal or his pots or his payrus or whatever with the reshus of the balabayas, then we said the balabayas is chayev based on everything that we discussed so far. And we had Rebbe says, yes, I actually say that I'm accepting responsibility. So the Gemara says, Itzma, Rav Amahilchus HaKtanakama, or Shmuel Amahilchus HaKarebi. So Rav says the halacha is like Tanakama. Once you say bring it in, then automatically it includes that you're going to watch it. Shmuel says the halacha is like Rebbe, and therefore that you, and therefore you're only if you befader said I'm accepting responsibility, are you chayev, and otherwise you ponder. Tosfos points out, given the halacha is like Shmuel and Dinei Mamonos on the face of it, that means that the halacha should be like Rebbe. Because this Dinei Mamonos, and Dinei Mamonos, the halacha is usually like Shmuel. Shmuel said that the halacha is like Rebbe, so therefore you'd only be chayev only if he explicitly said, I'm taking responsibility. Okay. The Gemara says, Tanan Rabbanan. If the owner of the chotzer says, if he says, bring in your shur, and you watch it, so he's saying, in other words, you can bring in your shur, but you're still responsible to watch it, is it chayev? If that shur then causes damage, then the owner of the shur is going to be chayev. Who's that chotzer? And if it was injured by a shur belonging to the bala chotzer, then the owner of the chotzer is going to be potter, because he said, I'm not taking any responsibility. But if he said, knos shur chavani yeshmiranu, but if he says, bring in your shur, and I will watch it, then chuzak chayev, chizik potter, then the other way around. If that shur was injured by his own shur, then he's chayev, because he accepted responsibility, and if that shur caused damage, then the owner of the shur would be potter.
Well, I've got one line before.
And you watch it. You can bring Reuven, the owner of the chotzer, says to Shimon, you can bring in your shur, but you have to watch your animal and make sure nothing happens. So now, yeah. So then, hizik chayev, who's that chotzer? Knois shurcha v'ani yeshmirenu. But if he says, and I'll watch the shur for you, then who's that chayev? If now that shur gets injured, then the owner of the chotzer is going to be chayev. Hizik chotzer. And if the shur caused damage, then the owner of the shur is potter because the bala chotzer accepted responsibility. So the Gemara asks for gufa kasha, but you seem to have a contradiction between this braisa. Amrit knos shurcho shmore hizik chayiv who's a potter, taima de omale shmore, only because he says you guard your animal, the chayiv bala shur potter bala chotzer, only because of that does the owner of the shur still have responsibility. Has stama, implying if he didn't say one way or the other, chayiv bala chotzer potter bala shur. Because we assume by default he's accepting that he's gonna watch it, which would be according to the Chachamim. But then the Braisa continues, Knos Shurchaba Niyashmuranu, if he says, and I will watch it, who's a Chayiv Hizik Potter, Taimad Amalev Aniyashmuranu, only because he says, I will watch it, Hud Machai Bal Chotzer Potter Bal Asher, only because of that does the owner of the Chotzer now assume responsibility. Because, in other words, by default, he's not accepting. If he doesn't say anything one way or the other, if he just says knows shorcha without saying Bani Yashmirenu, it sounds like the chiyuv is still on the Baal Asher. Well, Asa on the Rebbe, in which case, then that part goes according to Rebbe. The Amar Achi Kabbalah in the Tirusa, Balabai's Mishmar. He says only if the Balabas accepts, actually says, I'm accepting responsibility to watch the animal. Rei should have bought him to save her Rebbe. If we have a Bryce over here where the beginning is according to the Chachamim and the end according to Rebbe. So Omar Abulazar, Tavra. So Abulazar says, yes, we have a stira. Misha Shonazu, Lo Shonazu, the one who taught the one part did not teach the other. The same way we had in the Mishnah, Reb Zera had said something similar, that you have the Mishnah is partly according to Rebbe and partly according to the Chachamim. Reb Elazar says the same thing in this Braisa. Yeah. Rava Omar, Kula Rabbam. And he, Rava says, no, the whole Braisa can be according to the Chachamim. I did not see Reisha Shomrei, Tana Sefer Vani Yeshmeru. Because the Reisha says, you watch it, therefore to be parallel, the end of the Braisa says, and I will watch it. But in fact, you don't need him to actually say, I will watch it. It's in the, according to the Chachamim. He says, you watch it, means, Befeirush, I'm not accepting responsibility, therefore you retain the Chiyuv. But otherwise, by default, I'm accepting responsibility. So even if he doesn't say Vani Yeshmerenu, he'd still be Chayim. Rapapa Amakula Rebbe, he, Rapapa says the other way around, the whole Braisa is like Rebbe, the Savalak Reb Taifen, Dama Keren, the Chatzar Nezik, Nezik Shalom Meshalem. Again, Rebbe would agree with Reb Taifen that when it's keren in chatzar and nizik, and we're talking about keren over here because it's gur, then he's paying nezik shalem. Hilka amalei shomrei. So if the owner of the chatzar says you watch your animal, loy makne loy makim b'chatzar, it comes out he's not makne him a place in the chatzar. V'havelei keren b'chatzar and nizik. So therefore, it's considered in the chatzar of the nizik because the mazik has no business being there in the first place. To that, well, he has business being there because he told him come in, but he didn't say I'm going to watch it, meaning it's fully still the reshus of the nizik. And therefore, we can't have a tzarnis, mashalim nezik shalim. Loi amalei shmorei, if he doesn't tell him, you watch it, aknuye, aknu le mokim b'chotzer, in effect, he's being mocked to him a place in his chotzer to have the shirt. V'havele chatzar ha-shutfin, now it becomes a chotzer of shutfin. But terem chatzar ha-shutfin, even Reb Tarfon doesn't say, in a mashalim, elo chatzi nezik, then he's already saying chatzi nezik. So in other words, according to the Papa's answer, when we're saying over here that guy of a potter, as the case may be, we don't mean that he'd be potter completely, we mean he'd be potter on chatzi nezek and chayiv on the other half of the net.
Okay, hold on. Okay, so.